So good to see you. And we're talking about faith. Everyone say faith. And last week, if you weren't here, you might want to get that podcast. I stirred people up. I was pretty motivated and I challenged us to live lives of faith and to really give our best to God. I talked a little bit about how that's really what faith is. An aspect of faith is a life that is dedicated, because faith is really trust. And if we hold back our best from God, oftentimes it's because we are not sure about how much we can trust Him. And so we hedge our bets a little bit and we'll let God have a certain amount of our life. But if it comes to living totally for Him, that can be challenging, because you're going to have to trust His instruction and His advice and His guidance against what you might feel like you might have been trained or brought up to believe like. And so that's an important thing, faith. And I want to encourage us to live for God. So I was, in very much on that mode last week. And I do want to say this. I did that largely because I wanted to stir up a good degree of hunger in our lives. Because without hunger, you will really never get very far in life. You just won't. I think in the kind of social the world, they have this quote, that necessity is the mother of invention. You all heard that? And there's a lot of truth in that. It's not until we have to have something that we actually create it. And that's really connected with the same truth of hunger. If you're hungry for something, if you get to the point where you are desperate to see something change, that's a key part to seeing change. And one of the dangers of living in a blessed society like the UK is that we get so used to most things being pleasant and acceptable that we can live a life that is far less edgy and far less influential, because you have to motivate yourself to actually do something. There are other nations, and it'll be interesting to see in the 50 or 100 years time, and however much time we have left on the planet, to see how nations develop. And where I came from in Australia is a far more influential nation now than it was when I was a little kid. 100 years ago, we here in the UK effectively ruled the world and had a massive influence for a little island. Unbelievable. And we still remain one of the most important forces in the world. But in the last 50 years, 70 years in particular, the US has become not just the strongest nation in the world, but probably the most influential nation of any nations in the history of the earth. And so, but that doesn't necessarily stay that way. You might find that some of the nations that are relatively unknown now might become nations of great influence. And it'll have a lot to do with how hungry we are to make a change. And so I really wanted to get that to you, and I want to keep that with you. And because I'm going to talk a little bit about this. The kind of title for today is Unconquerable Faith is What Changes Things. Faith is a magnificent thing. 1 Corinthians 13:13, you probably know this. It says that now remain these three things. Anybody? You know that one? Three things remain. Three important things. Three key things. They're all tremendous forces. One of them is? One is? And one is? And the greatest of them is? The love. And even when I talked a little bit this morning, I talked a little bit about these 35,000 people here. And that's touching. It's touching on that point. You've got to love people. We can have 500 people in the building, just amazing worship, incredible, be prosperous by building, all that kind of stuff. And if there are people out there that aren't getting the blessing and the love that we're enjoying for ourselves, then it's not worth much. Because without love, it's just a whole lot of clanging. And love is all about the other person and being willing to sacrifice and invest in their lives. So that's not my topic, but that's why love is important. The other two are faith and hope. And hope is just a very positive expectation for the future. Everything's going to work. Everyone say, everything's going to work. Everything's okay. Say it, everything's okay. God's with me. All the lines are falling in pleasant places. That's such a weird thing to say, isn't it? If you didn't grow up reading the Bible, it's like, what is that? The lines fall in pleasant places? What's he? Everything works out well for me. All the things. See, that's hope. That's just, and it's not, you're not trying to con yourself. You actually really believe that. Now, a lot of people in church over the years, and I've preached in some form or other on church, on faith for 30 years, and I love the subject of faith. But a lot of people still in the church world think that that's what faith is. Everything's going to work well for me. Everything's going to be all right. God's with me. The future is brilliant. And you really have that feeling. That's a great feeling, but that's hope. That's not faith. But hope is the blueprint for faith. If you don't have hope for something, you certainly can't have faith for it. So if you build a building and you build a house, before you start putting the bricks and the mortar and the windows and the doors, you're going to have a plan, a blueprint. And you can't have a guess, and you can't say, we'll make it about big enough for a bed and a cupboard. That'll do. You're going to have it down to the millimeter. You're going to have it all tested. You're going to have the right, you know, the right construction. Talk to Dave about those kind of things. And you're going to have to measure it and know exactly what it's for. And then that's like what hope is, the plan. And then faith is what puts substance to it. It's actually the bricks and the mortar. It's actually stuff there. And see, a lot of people, they want to live in faith and they want to have the bricks and the mortar, but they're not particularly positive. In other words, their hope levels aren't that high. And that's a frustration, and it isn't going to work. You're only ever going to be able to build what's in the plan. And if the plan, if your expectation of what's going to happen in future life is smallish, and that's really where you're at, then that's okay, and you can apply faith to that, and that's what you'll get. But it's actually pipe dreaming to not have a very positive kind of attitude on the inside and then think that by faith these things are going to happen. They're not going to happen. And I say that because I've been, like I say, I've taught on it for 30 years and I've seen a lot of people operate in things that they thought were faith and they weren't, and then they expected certain results and they didn't get them. Then they got disappointed. So there's a whole segment of the Christian world that is almost anti-faith teaching because it's also positive and I tried it and it didn't work. And I understand that. As a pastor, I fully understand that. And then you've got the other side of that coin, which is we were taught about faith, and we were told these kind of things, and then when it didn't work, we were told that our faith wasn't strong enough, and so people were made to feel unimportant or like there was something at fault with them, why they didn't get healed, for instance, why the business that they gave a shot didn't work. If you'd have faith, it would have worked. And so you have a segment of the body of Christ that are hurt by that, understand? Yeah. And of course, who knows, once you've gone there, you've gone outside of love, haven't you? As soon as people don't feel precious around you, then your love factor is a bit lower than it needs to be. And that's the most important factor of all. So you need to realize this, that you've got a measure of faith. It's measurable. God weighs it. God could come with his divine scales and his divine angel weight, you know, just like you weigh flour, God can weigh faith and he'll weigh it. And for example, when Jesus was here, he had one person and we talked about him last week and he said, that's great faith, big. In fact, I haven't seen anyone in all of Israel that has that much. Then oftentimes with his disciples, he said, how come you guys have so little faith? They get nervous, the wind starts blowing, they're in the boat. Oh no, we're going to die. Anyone ever felt like that? The issue is a faith issue. The circumstances look bad, but God said he's good, and my emotions have been overwhelmed by the circumstances, and that's okay, that's part of life, but that's a faith issue. That's why faith is so important. Because as faith builds, when faith builds, your expectation is so full of positive, good stuff that it's just a wonderful way to live. But it has its challenges. The process of faith has challenges. But living in faith is unconquerable. Faith can do anything. But you've got to build first with hope. You've got to have a positive expectation of the future. So we as a church, this is partly, you can tell just by the way we're talking, this is just something that's in me, and this is a part of the kind of DNA of our church. So if you're a negative-ish person, or you prefer to be negative-ish, you probably won't like this church very much. Because we're very unapologetically positive. But, and that's partly because that's how God made me, but it's also partly because that is what's going to lead you to a better life. Because I wasn't always as positive as I am now. And I have my days too, let me tell you. I have days when I am tempted to throw things through the window. Doesn't happen that often, does it? Not that often, but on occasion. I have moments when I throw up my hands as if this is all just not working. And I recognize, and it's good for all of us to recognize, all that's happened really is the challenges are such this, my faith level's here, and at this point, for whatever series of reasons, I've defaulted to believing, to putting more trust in the emotions, the situation, than I had into God taking care of me. So you never want to criticize yourself or put yourself down if you feel like there are areas of your faith that need to improve. But what you need to do is look at the facts and deal with it and say, okay, I could. And I would say that all of us could increase in our faith. You agree with me? So faith, it's a fantastic thing. Three things, faith, hope, and love. And faith is, like I say, is built on hope. So starting to see things positively. See, if you can't see yourself in the future being healthy, say you're struggling with a physical illness, and it's a real challenge, and my heart goes out to you, and I'm not trying to be in any way dismissing that situation. But if you face a health challenge, and you're struggling with seeing yourself, one day I'll be healthy, then you will not be able to get anywhere on faith. Because it's hope sees yourself healthy in the future. So you've got to get to that first. And that has everything to do with what you listen to. So by the time we're finished, in about another 20 minutes, your faith level will be higher than it is now. And it's now higher than what it was 10 minutes ago. Simply because you're listening to stuff that's inspiring your faith. What you listen to dictates to your entire life. Amen. So there's a whole lot of stuff on the radio. I was speaking to somebody else the other day about this. I just can't listen to the radio. I just totally not in. Sometimes I put worship on. I'm a muso from way back, so I've got some, not quite as sanctified music as some of the other stuff that I occasionally put on. Though there are certain things like these explicit advisory. I haven't got time for that. I don't want to hear somebody swearing in my face. But I don't mind a little bit of, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. Remember that? And the Highway to Hell one I don't tend to do. You with me? Same band. I don't tend to sing that one. But sometimes I do that. I'll oftentimes have worship music on. I'll oftentimes put just atmospheric music on without words because I just like the atmosphere. I'll often put the Bible on. I've got Winston Churchill on at the moment. I've got my sixth stack in the back, and I've got these speeches of Winston Churchill in the Second World War. And not that I know them all off by heart, not that I think he was the Christ or the Antichrist, but he's a good speaker, and he articulated positive thoughts really well. He had a big part to play in how we as a nation here made it through the Second World War. And it had a lot to do with facing the reality of the problems, but never believing that we were not going to overcome them. Well, that's what hope is. So I listen to those kind of things. But when it comes to a whole lot of, I don't want to use the term idiots, because that's, it's a bit mean, but when and I like people, but when I hear a whole lot of people spouting off some fairly meaningless opinion about something and all the problems that are going to happen, and this happened to my grandma, and this happened to so-and-so, and everyone's left me, and, come to church and I'll help you, but I can't, in my own private time, listen to a whole lot of babble. I've got to be very careful with what I listen to. Are you with me? Yeah. And so, because faith comes by hearing, really. Some of us have challenges today with faith Because when we were young and we grew up, which is a highly influential part of our life, we were told, you can't make it. You're never going to. And my generation in particular, it was to say I love you was relatively uncommon. So I didn't grow up with that. And that's difficult for any person when you don't have that kind of affirmation. That's no negative point, you know, against your parents only learnt what they learnt from their parents. And I'm a believer anyway. So if God's with me, then I should be able to get through these challenges. Are you with me? And not get angry at people, but instead just try and bless people and help people. But the reality is, if you grew up for 15 or 20 years with negative words over your life and into your life and things that are going to be a problem and things that aren't going to make it and reasons why you know you're not worth much or whatever, that's created a certain faith in you. That's what you believe. And that's automatic and it's built in there. And in order to change, you have to be very deliberate about what you listen to. So this is one of just a little side note, but how important how we raise our kids and why we're having seminars on, you know, marriage coming up in June with Larry Gentis and how we talk about those kind of things. Because if you can get the right message into your kids as they're growing, you set them up for life. And it doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but it does mean that you have to develop a positiveness in your own spirit. Are you with me there? So that's what faith is. You see, faith is this. So hope is the future and faith is now. Everyone say, faith is now.
Faith is now.
So if you feel like on the inside of you, I've got it. I'm not talking about one day I'll be healed. I'm talking about right now I'm healed. I can't for the life of me understand why these symptoms are here. Because I know that I know that I know I'm healed. And it's substance inside me. I just know it. That's what faith is. Faith is an inward knowing. Now, I want to read a little bit of, and I didn't put any notes up today deliberately to encourage you to read. Because we're losing the ability to read nearly, aren't we, in our country. Let me read you a couple little passages. Listen to this. I'm going to start here in Hebrews 11, and it just gives you a little bit of an outline as to what faith is and why it's so powerful. So next week, right, I'm going to talk about faith in the morning and then I'm going to do this teaching thing in the evening. And it's really like a church service, so everyone's welcome. And so we're not doing the Bible college, but we're doing it once a month. We're going to do this evening teaching. And that'll be from 5 till 7. And I'll probably talk for about an hour, but it'll be a different setup. It'll be question and answer, so we're like this. So in like last week was much more preaching. Preaching is proclaiming, teaching is explaining. So next week I'll be much more in the mode of explaining, okay, how does faith work? If I'm going to have faith for this or faith for that, how does that work? Can I pray and believe God to marry a certain person? No. Can I believe, and why? Well, why not? So we'll talk about all those kinds of things and how all that, just practical, lots of question and answer, plus food, maybe a drop of wine if you're really nice to me. So it'll be a lot of fun. That's next week. And so, but here at Hebrews in 11, the whole, so I said that to say, if you want to read a couple of things in preparation for that, to get your kind of, the cogs of your mind going in the right direction, Hebrews 11 and Romans 4 would be two great chapters. It's only a chapter each, very easy, but it talks exactly about this topic and it'll help you. Hebrews 11 and Romans 4. So I'm just going to read this bit now from just in the latter part of Hebrews 11, so part that people don't read so often, but listen to this. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So you might say, well, I thought it was Moses' leadership. I thought it was because he struck out the rod. And those are all part of it, but the force that actually caused the sea to part and the people to go through is faith. That's what faith does. And it continues then. So by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. You would have thought that it might be because they marched around them and they obeyed God. Well, that's a part of it. But faith is this thing that deep on the inside you trust God and you know that you know. It's undeniable. You can't. And I would say this, folks, to in my experience of Christian leadership, most of us, most of the time, are on the journey to faith rather than being in faith. That's mostly, and I don't say that to be critical, I just think Jesus said this: if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to a mountain, go into the sea, and it'll go. Now, I don't know about you, but you seem a nice person to me. I'm a nice guy, but I don't know a whole lot of us that have moved a whole lot of mountains into the sea recently. And that's faith the size of a mustard seed. So when I look at myself, I think, okay, I've got a little bit of faith growing to do. Are you with me? Everyone say, I can still grow. Yeah, of course you can. And so, but faith, they marched around. It was obedience. But what brought that whole, and these walls were, they had houses in the walls. That's how thick they were. What brought those down was faith. And it just keeps going like this. Let me read a little bit more. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith, everyone say through faith, this is what they did, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouth of lions, Daniel in the lion's den. You think, oh, maybe he just got lucky. It was, you know, let's give it a shot. Let's see how we go, you know. No, faith is what kept the mouths of the lions shut. Something inside Daniel, a conviction that everything's going to be so totally all right that no fear in faith. Faith is at rest, not hoping, not going in saying, dear God, I hope these lions here, but I'm having faith. That's great, that's on the way to faith, but that when you're in faith, you're in complete rest. There's just no, he would have walked in to those lions' dens and everything's okay, baby. Just sit down there, you're not eating me today. Not just the Rambo style, but just the real faith thing in his heart. You with me? We're good? Yeah. And so by faith, mouths of lions quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword. Weakness was turned to strength, became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. How did that happen? By faith. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Well, that's a whole other topic, but it's talking about others. Some faced jeers, flogging. Others were chained, put in prison. Some were stoned. Some were sawn in two. That's something you don't really want to see happen. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in desert caves, holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. So, what can we learn? Faith is that thing that makes a massive change to your life. Want some mountains to come down? Want some walls to come down? It's faith that does it. Faith is a measurable force. Love is powerful and important, but it isn't the same as faith. You can be a person who loves God and loves people, but if your faith level is low, you'll be commended because you love people, but you won't receive much from God. The power of faith is that which receives from God. That's what makes the difference. So when you look at people and their lives, and you think we need to increase what we receive from God, which I think all of us do, and the issue, the challenge, is building our faith. God is wonderful and very, very caring and full of love, more love than you could ever understand. But God's hand does not move because of need. There are a lot of needy people in the world, and that is not what moves God's hand. And some people will say, well, why is God like that? Well, that's just the way he is. I want to venture to suggest that he knows what he's doing better than we know what he's doing. And faith would be to put our trust in him. Are you with me? And I can understand that there are some things we have to process and go through. But see, faith, God does not respond to need. There's a lot of need in the world. God responds to faith. There are some needy people in the world and nothing is changing. Now, if we, watch this, if we are people of faith, then we will get off our blessed assurance and go and do something for the needy people. And then God is doing something for those needy people through us. But it took our faith to do it. Are you with me? Faith always does something. Faith always has some kind of action. If we say we love God and we feel like he's called us to do something in Staines, then we do something about it. Sitting on our bottoms is comfortable, but not much faith going on there. Are you with me? So, but God, see, God moves right across heaven and earth. He'll heal any sickness. He can do it. He'll fix any problem. He'll answer any situation. But it's faith that will bring him on the scene. And without going into it, because we don't have time, but if you wanted to read something in preparation for next week, which we might go through in a bit more detail, you have that remarkable healing in Mark chapter 5 of that woman who had suffered bleeding. Remember, and I mentioned her last week? She'd had an issue, what they call an issue of blood. She'd been bleeding medically.
Worse probably than any situation you've faced. She spent all the money, it's all gone. She's gone to lots of doctors. She is an outcast. She couldn't come into this building because she's considered unclean. When she went into a public place like shopping in Staines, she'd have to walk in saying, unclean, unclean. You're not allowed to touch me, you're not allowed to get near me. It's nice, isn't it? Nice life. And so that for 12 years. So she worked hard, saved her money, paid the doctor, didn't get any better, got worse. 12 years. She wasn't the only sick person, but what she did was press through all these people who where she shouldn't have been, because she saw Jesus and said, if I can just touch his garment, I'm convinced that power is going to flow out of him into me and I'm going to get healed. And she got exactly what she was convinced about. But there were a lot of people in Bible times that didn't get much. It's not that God doesn't like them. God has enough power to fix everybody all in one moment of time like that. The power is in our hands. We are the people that choose whether we're going to operate or live in a faith zone or not. Are you with me? And so that's why it's so important to develop faith, to build faith. If you've got strong faith, you only need a mustard seed and you can say to the mountain, be cast into the sea, and it'll go into the sea. It'll do exactly what you say. And if you want to read something there, it's Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week, but they're good references to get a hold of. But the point I want you to see is that it's faith that makes the difference. Now, let me have a look. Before we close, I want to end on this thought here. And I'm going to read from James chapter 1. And if you want to turn there, you can. James chapter 1, and it's the only other passage we're looking at. And this is really quite remarkable now, because now you're going to see why some of the challenges that you face come and what you're supposed to do about it. Listen to this. James 1, 2 to 4, consider it pure joy. Everyone say pure joy. I mean, get totally happy, you know. Get out of your skin, start leaping around the building when you face trials of many kinds. That's not a very common response. A trial, a difficulty, you know? I thought I got the job, but I've lost the job. I thought my tax was all paid up, and now I've got a bill for 650 quid and I can't. I thought that the car was running fine because I just spent £800 on it fixing it last month, and now the clutch is gone. I thought all these things that trial, just different kinds of trials. I thought the person that I chose to marry for the rest of my life really wanted to be with me, and now it looks like they don't. I thought that bringing up my kids the best I could would help them get in a position in life where they'd actually make it through, and now they're on drugs, they've dropped out of you. Any kind of number of trials. How many knows there's various kinds? And what that verse is saying, staggeringly, it says, listen, when all these things happen, just get super happy. Now, you know, most of us would do that because, you know, out of just complete, this is ridiculous, you know. But why is it saying that? Why would it say that in the Bible, for goodness sake? Listen, it says here, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance has got to finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials come to press you into a place of hunger and passion so that you can develop perseverance, which is the ability to keep going when you don't feel like keeping going. And it's really important for us to understand that what I would call a biblical perspective of trials. See, challenges come. Now, I'm not wishing this on you, but here I'm saying, if you never have challenges, and they've studied this with kids, kids that are very good at school, don't have to study hard, don't have to work hard and just get all the marks easily, which we were all jealous of, those kind of kids, that ends up in their 30s and 40s being a big problem because they never learnt that you have to get out of your comfort zone and study hard and put the hours in, and you never developed perseverance. And now it comes to later on in life and you think it's all going to be easy, like the exams was easy, and it isn't. And you think staying happily married is going to be easy, like your exams are easy, and it isn't. And you've got to learn to work hard. And if you didn't learn it young, it's harder to learn it later. Amen. So it's a whole different perspective. And here's a good thing that you need to know with education, because, you know, I've raised lots of kids and I know how all that works. And most of us get, you know, feel like, why am I learning French? Why am I learning this? Why on earth do I need to know how to differentiate this, that or the other? How's that ever going to help me in life? But the issue is this is a good word for you, Ethan. I'm just encouraging you now, bro. But the issue is this, it's not just the information you're learning. More important than that is the ability to stick with something and get yourself to learn something even when you can't see how it's going to help you. The point isn't whether it's going to help you or not. The point is developing your ability to persevere, because that's what makes you successful. Are you with me? So God says this, and these trials will come and challenges will come and it'll press you. And in that pressing, if you're smart, you'll choose to keep putting your trust in God and you'll develop perseverance. You'll get up in the morning and you'll say, I just have to do this. We've been through periods in life. Right now in my life, I reckon, and I know I don't look it, but I've passed 50 already. But I'm loving the 50s. Now, I did a lot of things in my life before 50 and had a measure of success in certain areas. But I went through a terrible time of real illness and disaster, really, and really thought I wouldn't make it through when I was 50, right on my birthday. So that's 4 years ago. And now I'm better, in better shape, spiritually, mentally, soulically, health-wise, than I ever was before. But there were days when I would have to make myself get up, and it was hell. It was so hard to get. I just couldn't get up. I was so ill, and I had to. And the career I'd had as a preacher, teacher, pastor for whatever, 28 years or something, 25 years or whatever it was, I had to continue to doing that, but there was no money in it to speak of at all. So I had to go and get another full-time job. Doing the thing, I remember calling my friend in Australia, Chris Brown, who you've met, he's back in January, I think. I remember calling him, and I was so depressed because I was in a restaurant cleaning dishes at 50 years of age, having pastored lots of churches and done all this stuff. I remember talking to him and I think, can you understand how I feel? And he said, sure, I can understand. You just feel like you're at the bottom of the bottom. I mean, you have to dig so deep just to get up in the morning. Now, thankfully, that's not happening right now. But going through that made me a different person. So whilst I don't wish it on anybody, I also recognise that if we are going to be everything God calls us to be, we are going to go through various trials, like I just said. And the issue isn't that it's easy. The issue is that it develops something in you. So that's what it's really important. You know, some of us look at our life and say a lot of things have gone wrong. Relationships went wrong, jobs went wrong, finance went wrong, this went wrong. I say to you, take courage, because you're still here and things have gone wrong and you're still going. And you have the advantage that really in a lot of ways will put you ahead of the game of people that didn't have so many things go wrong. You've just got to see it differently. Are you with me? It doesn't matter how bad something went. If God's with us, we can find a way through. And there are so many stories. And I'm gonna close in the next 2 minutes. So I'm coming in for a landing now, right? You ready? But there are so many stories, and I was deeply inspired. You know, I read about Abraham. You'll see him in Romans 4. So he has this dream. God speaks to him, gives him a vision. You're going to be the father of many nations. And he couldn't have children. And he had to wait till he was 100 until he had the children. Now, there are nations all around the world that look so honoringly up to Abraham. He's a tremendous figure for the Christians, for the Jews, and for others. But he went through really tough times. It was like there's this dream and this vision, and there's like hell getting there, developing perseverance. Are you with me? Now, I remember Bill Johnson said the same thing when he was talking about. Bill Johnson now is heading Bethel Church, which is one of the exciting churches that are doing many good things. They're over in California. And he spent the first 18-odd years of his life pastoring in a little church in an unknown village town thing called Weaverville in the back of nowhere. And he had a passion for people to get healed. And it burned in him and it stirred in him and he wanted to get people healed. And so he prayed people and he sought God. And he saw so many people die. Like statistically, it was just too high. He was so gutted. But now, and he's 60-something, now in every meeting he holds, there are people just getting healed of amazing things all over the place. But he wouldn't be there now if he hadn't gone through that time first. It's the time when everything seems to not be going right. That's where you develop your faith muscle. Faith is like a muscle. It seems to not be going wrong. Right? Push. Yeah, but it's hard to push. I know, but that's where the answers are. Push. Faith is not, oh, I just flick a switch and God says yes and it all happens. No, you've got to develop your faith. God will answer like that, but he's more interested in who you are as a person than whether you get the answer or not. That's why you've got those Hebrews 11 guys that ended up suffering, dying, being sawn in half, never receiving what they were believing God for, because at the end of their lives they'll get to heaven and they mightn't have got what they were believing for, but God will take care of all that. But now what they do have is this incredible quality of faith and life on the inside of them, which is worth much more than whether you drive a Mercedes C-Class or a Peugeot. Which is what the old kind of faith idea, well, let's just believe God for a Peugeot and Mercedes and let's believe God for... No, God's more interested in what he's doing in you. Are you with me? And that's been the same for my life. So I look at the future and I am so pumped. Because there were some good things, you know, I can look at my life and think of some things that have been achieved really well, other things that didn't work so well, but now I know. There are some frustrations I've got in my life, not with you, just with myself mostly, and life. Certain things that I feel like, why is this not working? And I'm talking like 10, 15 years, and I'm thinking, this just isn't working. And you go through this, I just must be no good. You know, I thought God had called me. I thought this just isn't working. And you go through that whole thing. But you turn up on Sunday. Are you with me? Just nudge the person next to you. Say, that means you. There have been plenty of times on Sunday morning where I don't feel like saying anything. I don't feel like it's all working well. That's not today, by the way. But you know, there are times, and that's the issue. Is God building something in me? And I can see it. And it's almost like now it doesn't even really matter whether I get that. What I'm excited about is what's starting to happen on the inside of me as a person. So, you know, you look at me and you say, well, you're the minister. Yeah, but I'm still just a Christian person trying to follow Jesus as well, just like you are. You with me? And the same things apply for you. So faith, look at perseverance, trials and difficulties the right way. They're an opportunity for your faith to grow. Be careful what you listen to. If you feed yourself with enough negative stuff, and certainly the media is predominantly negative, predominantly telling you this wage isn't going to go up, this is going to go wrong, you're not going to have enough. Listen, God is bigger than all that stuff. But your faith is the thing that brings God on the scene. Be careful what you listen to and be happy to let perseverance develop. It's when you force yourself almost, that sounds works-oriented, but it's not. But it's when you develop in you an ability to keep looking at the future and say it is going to work, even though it feels like it's not going to work. That's the basis that faith moves on. And then God steps in. But God doesn't tend to come in really quick and go boom, 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 fix all that up. He doesn't tend to do that because then our faith, the stuff that really matters, isn't very developed because it just all came too easy. Does that make sense? That help you a little bit today? Are you ready to grow in your faith? Come on, let's pray. We're done here today. Thank you, Father. Thank you for beautiful people. Thank you for the privilege of speaking on your behalf. Thank you for the magnificent truth of faith. And I pray for every person here and for our families and our friends, the challenges that people are going through. I know, Father, that you are preparing these people for greater days ahead. And I ask you to graciously visit their lives and help them to see in this week. Just see it differently. And Father, to be careful what they hear so that as we get to the end of this week, there is this sense that faith is beginning to grow. The muscle is beginning to stretch and expand. And the things that seemed insurmountable actually are not going to be insurmountable. We're going to beat them and we're going to win the God kind of victory in this life. We thank you for it, Lord. If you believe it, say amen. Or yes, or fantastic, or good. Give someone a high five. Wonderful.